I think the best way to describe the kind of cookies that raise problematic privacy issues are that they are little small files that are stored as part of the browser that give each user a unique ID for that website, and can be at times, if the website works with third parties, can be used to track people across a lot of different websites.
And chances are they're on your machine and you don't even know it. If you go into the New York Times or the Washington Post or Amazon and it says hello in your name, that is the use of a cookie.
That's the use of one kind of cookie, yeah. Which is really kind of a first-party cookie. The third-party cookies are the ones that are served by advertisers that raise more of the concerns.
And OMB been looking at this for most of a decade. The government policy has been no permanent cookies, no cookies that go, you can use these temporary ones that last for a very short period of time, say a day, but no permanent cookies.
And I think the history of this is somewhat important for understanding the concern, which is that the Office of Drug Control Policy under the Clinton administration used a third-party cookie, had a third-party cookie set on users that came to that site. And the drug control policy at the time was really to help people be to get help anonymously. And here we had the federal government tracking individuals across a wide range of sites. So I think that it directly led into privacy concerns that were relevant for policy issues, not simply some kind of esoteric set of technology concerns for the future.
And this has been essentially been the policy for more than a decade now, that no permanent cookies. OMB on Friday changed that. You've read through the policies. We had a report on Friday about it. Essentially, it seems like they're trying to maneuver between this area of privacy and yet also creating some kind of usability.
That's right. Well, I think that they really tried to focus in on the areas where there is possibility for really good uses by agencies on these in this area. So what they said was they're allowing cookies, but you have to get user consent.
Right.
Right. Which the old policy didn't say. It said basically you can't lose cookies unless you get senior level official approval.
And I think even from the secretary, herself.
It originally had to be from the secretary, but then it sort of moved down so that it could be the secretary could designate it to someone lower. But for the most part, it did stay at the secretary level. So it was basically a prohibition for the really large organizations in the government. But in the case of trying to make this system work, they said you have to get opt-in from users for any uses except for customization or measurement for analytics purposes, because opt-in is really hard to get for analytics, and it's something that you can mostly do in the aggregate once you've collected the information and you've figured out where people are from, et cetera, and then put in the aggregate and then delete the underlying information.
So give us a sense. Did they get this right, or is there still more that needs to be done?
Well, I think there was some problems with how they went about in their definitions. There's some things that are very vague. For example, they have a prohibition of ever using cookies to track user individual level online activity outside of the website or application from which the technology originates. Now, I'm unclear on what that means. Does that mean other websites or other companies that they're working with, or the original company within the government agency? Is that what they mean, that you can't track without unless you get an opt-in? I think that, so there's some confusion there, I think, depending on how companies are working together. Now, it did come out at the same time as this other memo on
third parties
and working with social networks, et cetera. So there's that may help to bring some clarity, but I think people reading this and this alone, and you know, at some points these memos do have to stand alone. That sentence is sort of is confusing for folks. Then I think the thing that will rankle privacy groups the most is this idea that of a client side opt out for analytics purposes and for customization. And what they mean by a client-side opt-out is that users can set things in their browser to opt out of getting cookies from individual servers or cookies altogether, or third-party cookies or first-party cookies. So, but the problem is you have to know a lot about cookies in order to set those browsers in an appropriate way. If
yeah.
you just want to block one site from doing it, you have to really take through a certain number of steps. And they link to a GSA website to do that. That GSA website basically tells people how to block first-party cookies, which would break other websites from working if everyone set it up that way.
Well, and I can tell you that I'm not very popular at home because I do have my browser set up, so I see cookies because I'm interested in who is tracking these things. And it's not easy to maneuver through a website because a lot of websites have cookies, and a lot of cookies on their websites.
That's right. I have a great program called Ghostery that actually shows you the number of cookies without blocking them, or you can block individual ones and take control. But that's a separate plugin. It only works on certain browsers. So, and even this GSA page walks people through, I think, 6 different browsers, and it's all on one page. I understand that this is something that they have to work out and figure out the best way to do it, and this is really just the beginning of this discussion and not the end. But the idea that they feel as though they can educate users enough on browser tools for them to make an informed decision, I think, is something that's failed over the past 12 years a number of times.
Yeah, and it's something that I have kept hearing over the last 12 years, that there would eventually be technology that would allow you to essentially opt out of certain cookies but not other ones. It hasn't happened.
Right. We do hope that the browsers are going to build in these tools, and Firefox in particular has talked about the next steps about how they want to go about doing that in a way that's much more robust for users and easier to use for users. But right now, it is very difficult for users to even just explain it to users. It's difficult for us right now, right?
Yeah.
Let alone, and your listeners tend to be a lot more savvy about these things. You know, if you're trying to explain it to the average user of a government website and that's trying to get benefits or something like that,
a grandmother in Ohio or something, she ain't going to get this.
Right, much more difficult.
Yeah. How big of an issue is this really? And you and I have had this discussion before, that this, I mean, cookies aren't the biggest privacy issue out there, but they're important because of how people see them. And I've already seen reports out there, people saying, you know, oh, the government's tracking you in a way. This seems to be something that in a way touches people at their gut level, since so many people use the web these days.
Well, part of it is because it's slightly more transparent tracking, right? I mean, a lot of the tracking that happens out there, people can't get access to and see. So you don't have the kind of journalism that can go on about it, because it's harder to find out that what's actually going on behind the scenes. Here you see government agencies listed with an ID number. That raises people's concerns and questions. I remember a report a while back that was done about NSA using cookies in violation of their policy. Now, NSA has a lot of tracking technology that's a lot more sophisticated than cookies are. But the problem is, if they can't get cookies right, what's happening? And the rules around cookies right, what's happening with the more pervasive and more invasive technologies?
And part of the issue here, it's always seemed to me, is sort of the cardinal rule of privacy is don't collect anything that you don't need to. And it's always seemed to me that there is a lot of ways of collecting this data in and of itself using the temporary cookie, where you can give people some, for the tracking stuff, you can track people to a certain degree without having it be permanent. Why not use that rather than saying, oh, we have to have this permanent way of tracking people that just gives people a wrong impression, I think.
Right, I think that the issue with cookies is that it has to do more with the persistent cookies has to do with something where you really need the same information about the same person in an ongoing way, not just for a shopping cart or not just for a one-time use. That's why they did focus on analytics, because if you're going to get return of if you're going to figure out the return on investment of things on a website, you need to know how many brand new users you have as opposed to users over time. Still, that's something you can figure out how long you need that information for over a period of time. They suggest in the document it shouldn't be more than a year. I would even say it probably could be less than that, and you can still figure out that information in general.
I got to ask you, because you were a member of the Information Security and Privacy Advisory Board, were or are?
I still am.
Okay. And your report last May, which we'll have linked up on DorbeckInsider.com, but that report offered some recommendations about changing the policy, the Privacy Act, which is, what, more than 30 years old, and looking at these things as a more comprehensive way. Do you feel like that report ended up having any influence on what's gone on?
Well, I think we did address this issue of cookies in that report, and I think that it did have some influence there in terms of getting people to think about other ways that you could change the policy and still keep protections in place around consent issues. You can say make this more of an opt-in scenario. But in terms of the bigger picture and looking at the Privacy Act issues, we're still not there yet. Congress has begun to look into those, but in the administration, we have heard less about kind of looking at ways to open up the Privacy Act.
Perfect.